Time to get into camp.
Getting us ready for camp. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm really looking forward to it. Scott called me the other day. He said, Brother Danny, I believe we're going to have about 50. I said, oh my goodness, well, we're going to have a crowd, it looks like. So you need to get signed up. Now, as always, I'm going to be asking, you know, there are several of our bus kids want to go, and they have no way here, no money, no nothing. So if you'd like to sponsor a child to camp, it's $115. Last year, we had several do that, and I know that seems sort of not fair to some of our people that come all the time, they have to pay. But, you know, it ain't their fault. They don't have no money, and it might be the best thing that ever happened to them. So if you'd like to sponsor a child to camp, it's $115. You can be praying about it, and we're trying to take as many of them as we can. Now, I want to do something tonight, just for a few minutes. I know it's hot outside, isn't it? Boy, they say it's going to hit this week. 90s, all week long, chance of rain every evening. And that's this time of year, just the way it always is. And so get ready for some warm weather. Be here Wednesday night. Bring all the kids. They're going working on the books of the Bible. May even say them for us Wednesday night. All right. Let's do something different tonight. Psalm 103. And I say different because I have never preached a Father's Day message on Sunday night. I always do it on Sunday morning and then use a different topic. But I want to hit it from a different angle tonight and give you a verse of Scripture that I think would help every person in here. I don't believe there's a person in here will not be helped if you'll look at this Scripture with me. Give me attention, please, just for a few minutes. And if you'll pay attention to this Scripture, I don't believe one person in here will leave tonight without saying, you know what? That helped me. That's what I want to do tonight. Psalm 103, and look at verse number 13. It's a verse about a father, but it's a verse for us. Like as, two greatest words to understand in the Bible are like and as. When you see them two words, the Lord's getting ready to teach you something. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is as. Like and as. The Lord teaches by comparison. Teachers, don't forget that. The greatest way in the world to teach something is by comparison. When you're trying to get a truth to somebody, say, do you understand that? No. Do you understand that? Yeah. Okay, that's like that. That's what Jesus did. The kingdom of heaven is like. He takes something you do understand to help you understand something you don't understand. Now, look at Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I don't know about you tonight, but that helps me. That helps me. Like as a father pitieth his children, the Lord pities them that fear him. That means if I'll fear the Lord and honor him, then the Lord will pity me. I want the Lord to pity me, don't you? I want the Lord to look down and say, poor old Danny, I'm going to help him. I'm going to bless him. Sorry, old good-for-nothing thing. Something wrong with the mic here, bro. Sorry, Danny, he ain't much. But you know what? His heart is humble before me. Bible said there's a man back there I've been reading about in the Old Testament, and it said he greatly humbled himself, and the Lord helped him. You know how to get God to help you? Keep yourself humble. Stay low. As the old preacher said, stay low. So don't get exalted. Don't get started thinking you're hot stuff. Don't start thinking pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before the fall. Example, the Miami Heat. I ain't got to watch it, but I heard about it. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Every time somebody starts thinking they're hot stuff, the Lord always lets you fall down. That happens in churches. It happens in businesses. It happens in the entertainment world. It happens in athletics. Yeah, when a person boasts and says, "I'm the great, I can do this," you watch. Their demise is soon ahead and on the horizon. The Bible said that a father pities his children. I mean, think about it. All you daddies in here tonight, fathers, when your child comes and said, "Daddy, I'm sorry. Daddy, I'm sorry." Oh, I was telling my girls, I found, I was looking on my Father's Day cards and stuff, and I found a bunch of letters that my girls have wrote me over the course of their life. And I forgot they wrote me that many letters. And I told them that when you don't want to talk to somebody and there's something you want to say to them without really saying it, write them a letter. Because people can't argue with a letter. You know, you can't fuss with a letter, and you can't interrupt a letter. You just and you'll read it. Somebody will read it. If you got an apology to make somebody, and you ain't got the guts to go see them in person, write them a letter. And that's a good idea. Well, they'd write me letters, and about 80% of their letters they wrote to me was saying they're sorry for something. Almost every one. One of them, I won't say which, would write me a letter and say, "Daddy, I love you. I appreciate you. You're the best dad in the world," all that. And the other two would write letters a little bit like that, but most of their letters was, "I am so sorry. I hope you're not mad at me." I started to remember. And you know what? They know. One of them,
who's not in here right now. I don't know where she's at. She's around here somewhere. One of them would write me a letter, and it's so funny. She would always say in every letter, I can show them. Y'all want me to bring them next Sunday and read them to you? I mean, they were when they was 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. Their letter was all, she'd always say, I cleaned the kitchen. At the end of it, trying to justify herself by works. She's trying to be justified by works and not by grace. She'd always say, I'll clean the kitchen. And she'd say, sorry, I didn't get to wash your car, but I was going to wash it for you. She thought, now, if I butter him up, you know, and say something real good, he won't be mad at me. And you know what? That works. It does work. And even though you know the little brat is just buttering you up, it still touches your heart when they humble themselves. It really does. Now, Your kid come in and say, I don't care what you think, Daddy. Oh, that ain't the way to do it, is it? I mean, you'll get your head knocked off. If I'd have told my daddy, I don't care what you think, I wouldn't have woke up till the next week. I'm telling you, brother, he's just an old mountain from West Virginia. That wouldn't work with him. But if I'd say, I'm sorry, and I'll do better, it'd get like as a father pitieth his children. You don't understand sometimes that the Lord deals with us just like a father does his children. That's what the verse says. I thank God that's in there. Thank God that's in there. Just like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that's humble before him. Now my girls, they'd write a letter and they'd say, Daddy, I am so sorry. I used bad judgment. I'm going to do better. Please forgive me. It hurts me when you're mad at me. Please don't be mad at me. And I thought, hallelujah, that helps. I said, okay, we'll start all over. We'll wipe slate clean, start all over. If they come with this attitude of, I don't care what you think, I'd say, wait a minute. I'm paying your bills. I'm putting clothes on your back. I'm putting food in your belly. You ain't going to have that kind of attitude. Ain't gonna work. Now the Lord's the same way. If you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I don't care what you think, I'm gonna do what I wanna do, I'll say what I wanna say, you are asking for a whooping. A bad one. But if you'll come to the Lord and you'll say, Lord, I'm sorry. God, have mercy on me. God, please, I'm going to do better by your grace. What? You know what? As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. Do you understand that? Y'all understand that? You shout on that tonight. Thank God. Hallelujah. The Lord pities his children. I'm glad that he does. Somebody told me about a man who's in sin. We talked about it yesterday. And this man's living in sin right now. And this man has this attitude of, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven anyway. I'm just going to do what I want to. I don't know about you, that's a fool way to talk. That's a very dangerous attitude to have. But you better watch out. A man who talks like that, y'all listen to me, he is flirting with a tombstone. He is saying, what he's saying is, God, I'll do what I want, and you're not, I wouldn't have that attitude if I was you. Listen, God can pull a plug on you anytime he wants to. I mean, he can just unplug you, and you'll fall over dead like that right there. I want to be humble before him. I want to say, God, have mercy on me. God, please, go easy on me, Lord. I know I deserve to be killed. God, I know I deserve to be punished. Have mercy on me. And that book said, just like a father does his children, God pities them that have. Oh, shout about that verse tonight, people. Thank God that's in the Bible. Hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad that's in the Bible. That helps me to know that's in the Word of God tonight. You know, there's a story over there of David had a son by the name of Absalom. And if you've never read that story, I keep telling y'all, some of the greatest lessons of life you'll ever get is the Old Testament. Read your Old Testament. And David had a son by the name of Absalom. And Absalom was a very, very rebellious, mean child. But David loved that boy Absalom. And you know the story? He went down there and rode that mule under that oak, and his head got caught in the limb. All them preachers try to make it his hair was, but really it says his head. Maybe his hair got tangled up in the limb, I don't know. But it says his head. And he got tangled up, and them guys threw a dart in his chest, and then somebody killed him. And they didn't tell him. You remember that story? And old David was sitting on the throne there, and old King David, he remained king till the end of his life. Never did step off that throne. And old David was sitting on the throne one day, and somebody said, "King, here comes a runner." They would run. Mailman back then, they'd run. I mean, run marathon, run miles, and bring the tidings of what happened in the war. And he said, "Here comes a runner." And they said, he's a good man, and he bringeth tidings. And they said, "Here comes another runner." And he said, he bringeth tidings also. And one guy outrun the other fella, and he come running up there, and they said, King, we won the victory. We won the battle." And you know what old David said? He said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" All he could think about was his boy. And I'm going to tell you, we'd all be like that. Before we even knew the news from Iraq or Afghanistan, you know what we'd want to know? Is my boy all right? Is my boy alive? Is my child alive? That's not selfish. That's normal father love. David said, "Is the young man Absalom safe? Is the young man Absalom safe?" You know, if you heard about a school bus wreck, you'd want to know one thing. Is my child all right? Is my child okay? If you heard about a school shooting, the first thing you'd want to know, is my child all right? Is my baby all right? Did my baby... You'd be down at the school, you'd be calling every number, 911 and everything else. Is my child okay? Yeah, I remember my girls when they was growing up, you've heard me tell them. We carried them girls all over the country. I mean, we went to revivals everywhere in the world, and sometimes we'd have 100, 125 people going, and they'd want to, I'd say, "Get on the bus would be full," and they wouldn't even know where to sit. And we'd come out, and I remember over and over and over, they'd say, "Daddy, the bus would go," I'd stay somewhere and preach, and they'd all come home. And I'd say, you ride with them, and you ride with them. Make them ride in separate cars. You say, "Well, didn't you make them ride together?" No, because I was thinking now, all three of them ain't going to wreck. And if they're all three in the same car and they wreck, they're all going to get killed. And I remember thinking, I'll put them in different cars so that surely it all ain't going to wreck. And I'd pray. Didn't have cell phones then. They didn't have no cell phone. And I remember, Lord, please. And I couldn't rest on the inside until I got that phone call from home. And they'd say, we're all right. That's what David was feeling. That's what he was thinking. Is the young man Absalom safe? Is the young man Absalom safe? Now listen to me. Somebody told him, Absalom was a rebellious child. He was a mean little old brat. I mean, he brought heartache to David. But David still loved him and pitied him like a father. There is no love like a parent has for their child. It breaks their hearts when they go astray. It breaks their hearts when they do something wrong. You never had your heart broke bad to one of your kids. Breaks your heart. It hurts. It's like a dart, a knife sticking in your chest. And old David said, "Absalom, all right." And you know what that man looked back at him? He said, "King, all that hate thee and all thine enemies, be as that young man is." And what that meant was, he's dead. Absalom is dead. And old David didn't go through saying, "Well, too bad. Praise God, we won the war." He didn't do it. David covered his head and he walked through the palace and he said, "Oh, Absalom, my son, would God I died for you. Oh, Absalom, my son, would God I died for you. My son is gone." You know what? That same love that David had for his child is the same love our Father has for us tonight. Listen, don't you let the devil tell you God don't care about you. Don't you let the devil tell you you sin so much God ain't gonna fool with you. Don't you let the devil tell you that you crossed some kind of deadline and God ain't gonna mess with you. I'm telling you, like a father pities his child, your heavenly Father cares about you tonight. Glory to God, he'll help you. He's on your side. He's working for you. He'll bless you. He'll forgive you. He'll let you start out all over tonight. Thank God, hallelujah. Boy, I'm about to take a shouting spell because my Father cares about me. Lord have mercy, that does my soul good tonight to know I have a heavenly Father who pities me. Glory to God. I'll tell you something tonight. He cares about us when they fail. He cares about you when you're faithless. Oh, I've seen a lot of people that are faithless. Especially when you're sick or you go through a divorce. It'll test your faith. Now, all that I've seen teaches me to trust God for what I've not seen. Old Faithful is that geyser up there. Every 65 minutes, goes up, shoots water up 170 feet in the air at Yellowstone National Park. That's what faithful is. Faith is not believing God can, but believing God will help you. Amen? They said this little boy and his daddy wrecked the boat out fishing, and it come a big storm, and the water kept going up, and the boat went on down the river, and this guy told him, he said, "Son, you stay right here." Put him on a rock. And that little boy got on that big old rock, and he just sat there, and he said, the water kept going. He said, "Son, I'll come back and get you when I can get some way in there." And he went off to town, and that little boy stayed there nearly all night long. And his daddy finally come, and they brought a crew and rescued him. He said, "Son, was you scared?" He said, "I was scared." He said, "Son, did you shake?" He said, "I shook." He said, "Son, did you tremble?" He said, "I did, but the rock didn't." He said, "I trembled, but the rock didn't." He said, "It stayed solid right underneath." Listen, there's been a lot of times when I've shook, but I'll tell you, the rock ain't. I tell you, there's been a lot of times when old Brother Danny's trembled, but thank God the rock ain't. There's been a lot of times when I felt like my faith was very weak, but brother, underneath me there's something just as solid, just as strong. Let Jesus Christ, that rock underneath me. I don't care how bad it is where you live tonight. I don't care how discouraged you are. I don't care how scared you are or worried you are about your future. There's something underneath you, thank God, that'll hold you up. And it's the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rock don't shake. The rock don't shake, people. The rock don't shake. Good night, I feel a little breeze in here tonight. So you know what my preacher used to say? My preacher used to say, "Doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. Doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs." Carrie, one time when she was little, she got saved when she was six. And a lot of times when you get saved when you're little, and especially in raising preacher's home, they never got to do nothing, go nowhere, nothing like that. And bad, I'm talking about. And she started doubting her salvation. You get about 13 or 14, and you go to camp, and you have all these kids stand up and cry and say, "Glory to God, I was on drugs, and the Lord saved me, and the trees were brighter, and birds looked different, and God worked this miracle." And she thought, "Well, that didn't happen to me." When you get saved, you know, there's really not a big change. I mean, a six-year-old, I hope they ain't, you ain't been out smoking pot or something. And like Kathy Parker, Kathy got saved when she was four. And her testimony is, she said, "I was on 10 bottles of milk a day when the Lord saved me." And that might be your testimony. I don't know. That might be your testimony. But when you're little and you get saved, you don't go through this big dramatic life change. It really don't change a whole lot. You just say, "Jesus is in me," and that's about it. And then, so it's natural to doubt that. It's natural when you get 13 or 14 or 15 and you hear everybody giving these big testimonies that you thought, "Well, that didn't happen to me." And then the devil says, "You ain't really saved. You're just saved because your daddy's a preacher. You're just saved, think you're saved because of that." And he'll work on you. And I remember I went in one night in her bedroom and she'd been crying and we had a talk. And I said, "Look, honey, you got to doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs." I've even heard some people so ignorant, preachers so ignorant, that they say, if you ever doubt it, you ain't really saved. Lord, you better hope and pray that ain't right. Ain't none of us got it, have they? I'd say about everybody in here. I'd say everybody in here at one time, and I help. Well, I doubt sun shining sometimes. You take all kinds of crazy thoughts, but you plead the blood and that thought just comes in and goes out. I've heard people say, "I've never doubted it." One say, "I don't know about that. That's crazy sounding to me." I mean, if you think you're going to have a doubt once in a while, but I tell you what, just doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. You say, "Preacher, how do you know you really saved? You done what the Bible said. You called on the Lord. You trust Jesus Christ to hold you up. What are you trusting to go to heaven? If you're trusting the church, that ain't right. Trusting the preacher, you ain't right. If you're trusting your life, you ain't right. If I had to die right now, I'd say I'm trusting what Christ did for me on the cross. And according to that book, I can't go to hell believing that." It ain't got nothing to do with how you feel. Believe your beliefs. Doubt your doubts. You say, "Well, what if doubt that right there?" But what, there you go. There you something to doubt. I doubt that. I believe this. Believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. A father pities his children, brother, when they're faithless. Did you know the Lord's such a faithful Father, if you can't even believe, He still takes care of you and helps you anyway. He cannot deny Himself. That's one thing that just blows my mind about the Lord. He goes ahead and does just like us fathers. That's what I've done with my kids. How many of you daddies have went ahead and took care of your kids when they didn't deserve it and they didn't earn it? You do it because you're their daddy. And that's your child. We don't just take care of... We're all the time saying, the Lord ain't going to bless me. I don't deserve it. Well, duh. Look how many times your daddy got you stuff and you didn't deserve it. Sure. Sure. The Lord takes care of us even when we don't deserve it. And then I'll say this. He helps them when they fail. He helps them when they're faithless. He helps them when they're foolish. The prodigal son wasted all everything he had. Got out in sin. He got drunk every night. Partied. Done all kind of stuff. I mean, he ruined his name, his reputation. Lost everything he had. I know Christians that are saved as me and you. But they've got out in sin and blowed their testimony, and they won't even come to church and say, I'm not worthy. Everybody will look at me. The way I've been doing, I ain't fit to go to church. Let me tell you a story. The old prodigal son got down there that day, and finally it hit him what a nut he had been, and the Bible said he came to himself. He said, it just hit him, boy. The light came on. I'm an idiot. I have wasted everything my father gave. I will arise and go to my father. Guess what? Daddy was sitting over there on the front porch waiting on him. And the Bible said when that man saw him, he didn't get a shotgun and say, you ain't welcome around here. Get out of here. I'm disowning you. The Bible said he come down off that front porch and brother run to meet him out there and embraced him and put a robe on him. That's what made that other brother jealous and mad because he'd lived out all that time. He never got no fatted cat. But the daddy was so happy for that prodigal son that repented. He killed the fatted cat. Brother, they had steaks that thick on the grill and they put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And he said, let's have a party and be merry. This my son was lost and is found and was dead but is alive. And by the way, have a big shindig over that boy. I'm glad he pities us when we're foolish. How many of you have ever been foolish? And you're saved, but you're foolish. I have. I've done some foolish stuff since I've been saved. I'm ashamed to admit it. But God knows the truth, and you know you have too. And buddy, when I'd make up my mind, I'm coming to you, Lord. He pitied me just like that, and He fixed everything up. And I'm telling you, listen people, I don't know, I've had the burden ever since this service started that somebody in here is carrying a very heavy load. And I don't know who you are, come on Miss Bessie, I don't know who you are, but I'm telling you tonight, there's help for you. There's help for you. You've got a Father in heaven that cares about you. He'll forgive you. He'll wash you in the blood. He'll give you a brand new start. You can start all over here tonight, right here on this altar. Let's stand. Bow our heads for prayer. He's a pity. The Father will pity you. He'll have pity on you. Just like you would on your child if they got down and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. The Father in heaven will have pity on you. Let's get out of our seat. Who will meet me here in this altar tonight? And just say, I want help from the Lord, preacher. I need help from the Lord Jesus. Come on. Just get out of your seat. Come on right now. Come on, man. Come on right now. Just get help. The Lord will forgive you. You can start a brand new start right here tonight. Why don't you come? Will you? It ain't going to get no easier. Come on, others. Others need to come. Come on, son's coming. Come on.